Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 274, part 1, Mount 3. Today is Friday, January 4th, 2013. Happy New Year.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Mount 3. Matthew 5 and 4, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think it's so important to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, what did Jesus really say? Are you hearing me? What did the Lord really say? We need to hear what Jesus had to say. Now hold it, I didn't say, blessed are they that moan, or blessed are they that groan, but blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Praise God that you can mourn. And I think we have the same crowd facing Jesus, when Jesus was teaching, and we ministered on him Friday night, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sort of a cross-section of humanity, and it's all zeroing in on Jesus. He has their undivided attention. So hard sometimes, you listening on the radio, or to this tape, to give your undivided attention. My mother used to say to me, I want your full and undivided attention because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said about the same thing. Do you have ears? Well, then listen. Do you have eyes? Then see. But I believe he has their very undivided attention, every eye and every ear. They're all tuned in and turned into his every movement, his every word. And I can hear his voice echoing in between those mounts. Blessed are they that mourn. He was looking out at a crowd. The multitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Probably there were a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees and spies and whatever around there. And how could he speak with such authority? Because what he preached, he lived. See, when you live something, then you can really preach. He was, in other words, ministering his very character. Are you hearing this? Oh, it's going to help you if you hear it. Are you hearing on the radio? Sort of a paradox. And how flatly it contradicts the accepted and popular view. Who wants to say, happy is the man whose face is wet with tears? Happy is the man who bears a heavy burden? Or, happy is the man whose heart is breaking? No, we, in this age, pity such people. I mean, how can we envy a man with red eyes, blinded by tears? No, on the contrary, see, we lift up the man who's made it through life with no pain, which, of course, is an impossibility, but let's say, with no sorrow, that's what we go for, with plenty of money and no wounds. But Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn. But see, we don't agree, so we think, blessed are the tearless and blessed are the high step and high rollers. But Jesus' word stands through all of the ages, and wisdom speaks from the mount. Yes, his eyes seem to say, you heard me right. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so you see, to his divine mind, the supreme tragedy is that the tearless eye and the heart without tenderness is really the poor one. To lose all that sensitivity is death. You ever seen someone that can't mourn, or someone that has that haughty spirit? They really have poverty in their life. Or someone, maybe you've noticed, being at the hobo bus down there and going out on the streets, and people pass by and shake their heads, and it's like they don't even see the misery there. Paul is saying in various parts of the Bible, some individuals are past feeling what occurs. To be past feeling, that certainly is spiritual death. Beyond blessing. How can you bless someone that's beyond feeling? What's that song? Feelings. Feelings like I never had before. Can you bless, in other words, a dead man? Is there anything that you can do to move him? But see, this loss of feeling indicates something far worse than the death of the body. It indicates a death of the soul. When we die in our souls. I remember some years back I went to a boys' school. And I could relate with some of the kids there, because at 13 I had experienced that. And this Indian boy was sitting there, and they couldn't get him to eat, they couldn't get him to do anything. It was just like he was dead. Totally, totally, totally dead. Wouldn't answer, was mean, was like a caged animal. And finally, after about an hour of talking, I says, you know what, I'm getting kind of tired of this. So I just grabbed him around the, there's a little skinny little kid, and I grabbed him right around the waist, and we started jumping around the room. Now, he didn't want to jump around the room. But I didn't know what else to do with this kid. And we just jumped and jumped and jumped until he was wore out, and I was wore out, and then we laid down and had a good laugh and a good cry. And it started to get through to him. Through my own personal difficulties at that very age, at 13 years old, that, hey, There is someone that loves you, namely Jesus Christ. Oh, what a nut you must have been. Well, I feel the same way today. Whatever works, don't knock it. I thought to myself, oh, dear, wonderful Jesus, Savior of my soul, thank you for showing me how to feel. Thank you for giving me life, and thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me, in part, your character that may grow in me. And so the blessed are these, are for those who have Jesus living in them. Because the death of a soul is a frightful tragedy. When you see someone's soul, they're dead. Walking around, talking, conversing, but dead. Wandering around in a sort of a self-contained desert. And even people that come to church live that way. Self-contained. And so many are dying daily. Say yesterday, for instance, that you sinned, but your conscience gave you no pain. Your conversation didn't slow down. You kept right on a yapping and a gossiping and a slandering and a carrying on. Your appetite didn't suffer. You went right over to Perkins and gulped down whatever that they had for you. Your wants didn't stop and you slept well. And so that sin had been repeated over and over and over again. And that's how the self-righteous get self-righteous. They practice being self-righteous. Until they can be that way with no pain and no pang at all. Some people call that balance. I call it walking a tightrope. And so maybe you're out there and you listen to sermons that probably once would have broken your heart. Now you chew gum through the whole thing. Or knit, or whisper, or file your nails, or have your mind on anything but what's being said. And so now you're consumed with your own fleshy appetites. Maybe you even smirk at the Word of God. Once messages gave you hope, your soul would leap within you with longing. But today it leaves you unmoved. And I'm talking about when we get self-righteous. When we get self-righteous, we don't need the righteousness of God anymore. We end up bitter and resentful, bored, unmoved, undisturbed. Probably just like the seats that you sit in. Once you could not have ever thought of passing a person wounded by the wayside. His suffering would have touched you so much. You would have suffered his pain. But now you can look upon people with deep spiritual needs with an indifferent eye. I'm tired of watching those programs about the Ethiopians. I'm tired of that. Why don't they put something else on? They're just trying to get another $10 out of me. Well, believe in a miracle. I do. Maybe you'll even be parted with a $10 bill. I don't know. So I'm tired of them, you say. Who cares? How about me? I asked a guy for a hand the other day in the alley. He said, what's in it for me? How about me? Just before that, I had made a decision. And sometimes you make decisions and people say, and you call yourself a Christian? Tears in their eyes. And he had just got done saying that. And I said, well, I do, yeah, but now you want me to do this so badly, will you give me a hand? What's in it for me? I said, sir, you have answered my question. Good day. Are you hearing this? Don't I count? And so they let their mess be their downfall. Maybe you're out there and maybe your parents love you all so much but you're wayward. They pleaded with you to change. They have cried hot tears over you, but tears and pleading make you sick. Let me tell you something, young person. You're in real bad shape. Your loss is greater than your parents. Blessed are they that mourn. Of course, Jesus does not mean that every mourner is always blessed. I believe that tears are not good in and of themselves, but some tears, praise God, clean us out. Clear our conscience. Give us peace. Give us a release of tension. Water the gardens of our heart. Make our soul sort of flower. Freshen up our outlook. Drain our bitternesses. Empty us of hatreds. And give us peace and forgiveness to share. But I believe there are some tears that destroy and blind. And so there are mourners whose mournings bring them no relief or no comfort. There are those who search for things to mourn about. They search for despair. They're always looking for something wrong. How miserable they really are. They are, let's say, happiest when they're miserable. Do you know someone like that? They are happy. Blessed are they that mourn. Go ahead and cry and so on. Like, that's beautiful. But there are some people that look for trouble. There are some people that are the happiest when they're the most miserable. And it seems like they're never so miserable as when you tell them to be happy. And then give them reasons to be happy. You might say, count your blessings, count them one by one. Might say, well, look, you have a nice family, you have your health, you have plenty to live on. But all you're going to do is make them more miserable. By telling them how good that they have it, you make them more miserable. I mean, shut up. They are in their mourning. Leave them in that type of mourning. You understand what I'm talking about? There are people that love. With this wrong kind of mourning, they love to be in it. They don't want to hear anything else. They probably rewrite Paul's words to read like something like this. They take the beautiful and make it ugly, and they say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things that are untrue, whatsoever things that are unhonest, whatsoever things that are unjust, whatsoever things that are impure, whatsoever things that are unlovely, whatsoever things that are of evil report, if there be any vice or any condemnation, think on those things. They might not say that, but they're always thinking on those things or pointing their finger at someone they think is thinking those things. And so they think on those things. Not only do they think on those things, but they examine them and they dwell on them. And they really get into it. Think of how you're not appreciated. Think about all that you've done for others. Tell people how you've been misused. Gather a group of sympathizers. Show them your operation. You ever been around somebody that shows their operation all the time? Yeah. Look here. Cut all the way up here, took the vein out of there, put the vein out of here, and then they put the vein down through here, huh? Do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus isn't talking about that type of mourning. Tell them over and over and over about their bad back. Now, somebody's got a bad back. It seems like that's all they can talk about is their bad back. And it seems like 90% of the people, when you ask them to do something, can only lift like 14 ounces. Hmm? Now, I'm not saying there isn't such a thing as a bad back, because for years I wore a back brace. In other words, when I got out of bed, I put the brace on. It's up to here. I wore the brace all the time. The Lord healed me. But I just hated for anyone to say, "Have you got something underneath your clothes?" Well, I'd say, "That's none of your business. How gross." You know, before I was saved, I started to think how forward I was. And the other day I was thinking, you know what, I really haven't changed a whole lot. It's just that I'm doing it for Jesus now. Oh, tell him over and over about your back. That's it, limp. That's it. So the last, what's wrong? Oh, I've had this old thing. I've had this since 1942. Shrapnel, you know, all the way up and down. Yeah. Battle of the Bulge. Gasp for air. What's wrong with you? Well, I have a hard time breathing, you know. There are people that overplay, overacting, cut. Do you ever catch your kids when they're overacting? If they hurt their eye, they still limp. What happened? I hurt my... Mom! What's wrong with you? He hit me in the eye! And they're limping along. In other words, a lot of times we're just like children. Tattletales. Troublemakers. Are you calling kids troublemakers? Yeah, they're born into it. Well, I mean, get into it. Let your face hang down. Practice it in the mirror. Give them your life story. See, their thinking brings them into their mourning. You can think yourself into mourning. Oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. God, can anything go right? Huh? You can think yourself into a fit. Well, if that's true, then you can think yourself out of a fit. What do you think of that? Preachers, you listening on the radio, do you ever have nervous fits? I mean, nervous fits. How many of you have nervous fits once in a while? You just kind of get on, like every nerve is alive in your body. Well, don't get gloomy about it. Where there's life, there's hope. See, but this kind of mourning brings them no relief or any kind of comfort. And they wake up with a hangover, drinking of self. And so then they have to start the day out like the drunk does with a Bloody Mary. Just to get going. We used to have guys in the service and they'd put their deals down under the bed and say, "What are you doing?" "Well, I got to have one to get me going. That's what helps me get off of the drunk." They'd get waste themselves and then they'd have a bottle of warm, you know, barracks on the weekends. Oh, they stink in there. All them old socks and all them old beer jugs and wine and burps and whatever, sweat and... Woo! They reach underneath there, grab that thing, and it's the same way with people that want to be gloomy. It's like they reach down and grab a hold of something to get them going again, sort of prime the mourning pump. They just love to be that way. They have a melancholy spirit. How are you this morning? They're just sort of walking around kind of miserable. Don't talk to me. Am I speaking to somebody on the radio? Or am I speaking about somebody that you know on the radio? I think so. Maybe they roll over and say, "Oh, God,
Help me. Help me.
Maybe they walk to the mirror and say, I'm misused. You know, sometimes these tapes make people so mad they get out of their misery. I hope that's the case. Then they shuffle off to the bathroom, give themselves another stare for a while, and while they brush their hair and they brush their teeth. Then the phone rings. They put on their mourning voice. Not good mourning voice, but mourning voice.
Hello?
The person says, what?
Hello.
Maybe they ask, how are you feeling? What's that? How am I feeling? Oh my God, you should ask. Now I'll tell you what to do if you're on the other end of the phone. Go take a shower. Lay the phone down. Brush your teeth. Deodorize, powder. Brill cream, a little dab will do you. Eat breakfast. Pack your lunch. Make your bed, jog around the block, feed Bozo, read the word for 5 minutes, meditate for 5 minutes, and now pick up the phone again, and here's what you're going to hear. And you ask me how I'm feeling. Now do you understand? Life certainly hasn't been good to me. May it deal a better hand to you. Now you'll have to excuse me, I got an appointment with a doctor. Hold me up in prayer. Call a prayer chain. Call all the well-known ministries. Call them all. And then maybe they end the conversation with spasmodic coughing. You say, are you all right? Oh, yes, it's just my condition acting up again. And they give you that sick goodbye. Bye. How many mothers and mother-in-laws are into that? Now, I really admire your mother. You know why I admire her? Because she's quite a bit like my mother. She's got a sense of humor. Right back here. Sense of humor. Going along with her life, self-sufficient, and we all mourn a little bit, but very little, moaning and groaning and mourning, the wrong kind. And it's so refreshing to see that. See, I believe people like that are deliberate. And they're pessimistic, and they are a glutton for the dumps. They love the dumps. Where are you going? When they get up in the morning, they're headed for the dump. They want to be in the dumps. How are you today? Oh, I'm in the dumps. Pray for me. Oh, I'll pray for you, but first of all, shake all that garbage off yourself and get out of the dump, and then I'll pray for you. But as long as your confession is you're always in the dumps, I'm not going to keep praying for you. Have you run into any? Maybe we're like that sometimes, in the dumps. Do you recognize yourself in this message, or am I all alone in this thing? No, I only minister on what I've been through myself. You ever seen somebody that's been in the dumps? They don't want to get out of the dumps. They're just dumpy looking. Women say that about other women. Isn't she dumpy looking or frumpy looking? Women are cruel. When they get to talking about another woman. Well, so are men, but we're picking on women today. Isn't she dumpy looking? What a dumpy thing to say. And then we have the mourner who is mourning over a selfish loss. Something that they planned that didn't work out. like being the greatest singer. Now, let's face it, there's a whole lot of people that can't sing, and a whole lot of people that try to sing, and they should just take them off the stage, gag and bind them, and throw them in a seat. And it seems like everybody, first when they get saved, they want to play the guitar. And a guy told me one time, he says, "Now listen, God spoke to me to play the guitar, but he didn't tell you to play it in my church, so go home and play it." Did he specifically say, go to disciples ministry? He didn't tell me anything about it. But because it doesn't work out and they can't play the guitar or they can't sing, and then people get up, they're off pitch, they're tone deaf, and they can't sing at all. And they want to get up and they want to, "Would you mind if I do a song? I've been practicing it for a whole year now." And I'm kind of suspicious if a person has to practice a song for a whole year. But they're in the mourning stages over that. Something didn't work out in their own selfish life. Or maybe they're sitting in a cage, like a caged eagle, because something didn't work out. Lonely. Sort of a pathetic mourner, but with no comfort. See, if your mourning doesn't take you to comfort, doesn't bring you to a release, it's not a God. It's a wrong type of mourning. And then there are mourners who lose their loved ones and never get blessed. Why is that? Because they wallow in self-pity. Instead of becoming soft and tender by their sorrow and their grief, they become bitter. They become rebellious. They become hard-hearted. Now, mourners that mourn over a sin they committed are not always mourning because they hate that sin. Are you hearing this? I'll say it again. Mourners that mourn over a sin that they have committed are not always mourning because they hate that sin. They do not, in other words, hate the evil that they've done, but they hate its after effects. Just like a drunkard. They don't hate the booze, they hate the after effects of the booze. And we have people today that mourn. And in our jails, they're full of mourners. In the state penitentiary, there's people there that are full, and there's a full of mourners there. There are whorehouses, and there's a lot of people mourning there, and there are people who commit all types of sins, and they're mourning over all those sins. And Jesus tells us that hell is full of mourners, people that weep and wail and gnash their teeth, but their tears and sorrow bring them no consolation. And why? Because, see, it's possible to mourn and to mourn deeply and find no joy that comes in mourning. And so when you go to bed tonight, seek God. Give Him that day. Every day, give your day to God.
That was episode 274, part 1, Mount 3. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a good weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief.
to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. It might be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.